Author Terry Pratchett once wrote, "No one is actually dead until the ripples they cause in the world die away." This story is about the first of those ripples, when people find out about the death of a loved one. The coroner is the last person you want to see knocking at your door. Coroners say telling people someone close has died is easily the hardest part of the job, yet it's often overlooked. There's no standardized training. WGLT's Eric Stock reports on how coroners in Central Illinois do this part of their work.
Death does not at first make sense to the minds of those left behind. Time and self-understanding alleviate suffering, but the pain of human loss is universal. Coroners see that truth every day at the first raw moments of the people they have to tell that their someone has died. Peoria County Coroner Jamie Harwood says he was dreading a visit he was about to have with a mother he knew. A year earlier, Harwood had informed the woman her son had died in a car accident. Early one morning late last year, he was back at her door after another son died.
It was just a heavier doom that I felt, that I had to do the same thing again to the same family. And it was devastating. It was absolutely devastating. They knew when they saw me knocking on the door, they knew why I was there at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Harwood had a career in nursing before becoming Peoria County Coroner in 2016. He also has a background in critical care. Even for someone who handles death for a living, Harwood calls that one of the worst days of his career.
It was worse because I was there again, and then they knew why I was there, and so I think they just carried the first tragedy into the second one.
Death notifications are a part of the job for coroners. Tim Rustman has been coroner in Woodford County for 25 years and counting. When he gets word of a death and he must tell the family, Rustman goes through a mental checklist before heading out.
Every time when I'm on my way, I start thinking, okay, how am I going to open this conversation? What am I going to say? What are the facts? Is this a case that potentially we need to approach his family about maybe being an organ or tissue donor? Those are things that always have to, you know, you want to know. So I kind of rehearse it in my mind, if you will, before I get there.
Rustman says you never know how the family member will react to being told their loved one is gone.
It doesn't always go that way, of course, but there's certain key elements of notifying of the death that you do want to hit on.
Most coroners go in twos. They bring along a deputy or someone from law enforcement or clergy for backup and additional support for the family and the coroner. Jamie Harwood reminds himself to always speak with the victim's family at eye level. He says you can't soften the message with euphemisms.
You have to say words like, John Smith has died. Your daughter, Joan Jones, has passed away or has died. You have to use words that really bring truth to the matter, as opposed to some facade that they could, you know, lead to believe something different than other than what has truly happened.
And you can be direct while also showing empathy to help someone realize they are not alone. That's according to Livingston County Coroner Danny Watson.
To every person, the death thing is a very personal thing, and they think that nobody really knows how they feel. And that's probably true. But I can still empathize in what they're going through because I've been through it multiple times.
Watson says he was orphaned at age 13, and except for his sister, his family is gone. Ultimately, coroners say it's critical to show compassion in whatever way possible.
I do hug. I'm a hugger.
Kathy Yoder has been the McLean County coroner since 2014 after a two-decade career in nursing. Yoder says her knack for caring for others goes all the way back to grade school as a hospital volunteer at what is now Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal.
I remember doing that when it was Broca, and I was a little candy striper, and I think it was seventh grade as a little volunteer, and I'd pass waters around, and I thought that was great, and all my little Halloween costumes as a little girl was a nurse, and I took care of my dollies, and that's what I did, and I couldn't think of any other way, and I wanted to take care of others.
Now that means taking care of people after someone they love is gone. Yoder says her office is the voice for those who no longer have one by helping families process everything that must be done after a loved one's death, including organ donation, the autopsy, and funeral arrangements. Most death notifications happen in person. Yoder says in rare cases, she is said to notify family by phone if they don't have close relatives nearby or her office does not know where they live. She says those cases are often tragic in their own way.
The ones over the phone have a tendency to may have known that it was coming. Or if it's an older person, sometimes they haven't had contact with the decedent in years.
Yoder also has some help few coroners have when comforting grieving families. He's not a deputy coroner, but this chaplain has witnessed his share of tragedy.
I guess I approached Kathy and I interviewed for a job position that didn't even exist.
That's Stuart Blade. He was a veteran Bloomington firefighter. He says he felt called to help other families grieve.
If we can provide one area that just provides a little comfort in a process of what's going on for that family, that's an amazing thing that we get to do.
Blade knows something of heartbreak. 6 years ago, he and his wife lost their daughter, Hope, to a birth defect 7 hours after she was born. They have 4 other children. About 4.5 years ago, Blade talked with Yoder about becoming a coroner's office chaplain. Yoder gave it some thought, and then weeks later came one of the biggest tragedies in Bloomington Normal history. A plane crash in April of 2015 near Bloomington killed 7 well-known men on their way back from an NCAA basketball championship game. They're referred to as the Redbird 7 for their ties to Illinois State University. Blade was working with the Bloomington Fire Department unit that arrived on scene that morning looking for the plane through the heavy fog.
Just the amount of notifications that they had to make that morning, going from home to home and visiting 7 homes. Kathy called me that day, and it was April 7th that day that it was just like, hey, this is happening. Like, we're moving forward, and that was the day that I was brought onto the team.
Yoder says even though she had trained for mass casualty event, nothing prepares you for the physical, mental, and emotional burden of the real thing and helping the families of the survivors cope.
That went on for a long time, and then it's all about them. It's not about me. But I do know those were long days, and trying to give 100% to the families, if not more. And that took an emotional toll on everybody involved that I'll never forget it.
A month after that incident, Blade became an ordained minister. Earlier this year, he took his calling a step further and left the fire department to join Eastview Christian Church in Normal, where he is the associate pastor of small groups. In his role as coroner's chaplain, Blade says it's less about talking than it is about listening.
I'm not a therapist, but you are trained in the art of just being quiet, and I think that there's a lot of value in that.
Blade says he likes to get people talking about favorite memories of their just-departed loved one.
I think that's one of my favorite moments of doing this, where you get to, not to just see their, but just see that they're, what a great lifetime we had together, or these are the great moments, and don't forget those moments.
Blade says he's careful not to lead with his faith, partly because you don't know what religion a person does or doesn't have.
I still don't hesitate to ask the question, can I pray for you? But then I enjoy reading, and some of the books that I've read are just different cultural, finding out, okay, what does it look like when somebody of a different faith, what is the process that they take when somebody of that faith passes away?
Blade says another reason to steer clear of mingling church and state is that he is a county employee. Woodford County Coroner Tim Rustman says technology has made death notification more difficult in recent years. Sometimes the family finds out in other ways, maybe through a social media post or an online photo of a crash scene. Rustman says that puts additional pressure on coroner staff to get to the family first.
It feels like you're almost under the gun now, where you have to, once there's a motor vehicle accident, let's say, you need to really, make sure that you get to that home and get that family notified, because people may drive by with a cell phone and inadvertently take a picture, do something, and next thing you know, a family member is seen on Facebook.
A change in state law several years ago allows coroners to determine a cause of death on their own without having to convene a citizen jury. Rustman says inquests often forced grieving families to relive a tragedy and delayed death benefits and closure.
Some of these counties were being inundated with motor vehicle accidents, let's say, and it would take 2 to 3 months before they could get their inquest set, get their jurors called in. And that whole time, the family did not have copies of that death certificate. And that puts a young mother that lost her husband and has 3 children, she needs those death certificates immediately to get on with her business.
coroners try to become one with the grieving family, although that takes an emotional toll over time. McLean County handled more than 1,300 deaths last year, nearly four per day. Kathy Yoder says about one in five deaths required an investigation. Coroners also need someone to help them cope.
I have a great husband. How about that?
Yoder is married to Bill Yoder, a circuit judge in McLean County.
Well, the one good thing is he understands my job and he understands what I do. So the dialogue is wonderful there. He's very supportive and I'm also supportive of his career. So I think that is actually a great working relationship.
Tim Russman in Woodford County says he too looks to family for comfort when he can.
I give my kids extra hugs sometimes. I remember shortly after my wife died of a brain tumor, my very first coroner's call was a young man that died of a brain tumor, and I thought, you know, how lucky is that?
Russman says separating public life from private is difficult when his small-town community has known him as the bearer of bad news for so long.
Probably the most difficult thing for me is I've done this for so long. If I will call someone on the telephone or when my dad was running for a political office, I would knock on a person's door and say, hi, I'm Tim Russman, and this look on their face would just be like, oh no, what's he going to tell us? So, you know, it's not always, I don't always bring bad news.
There is an upside as well to being a small community coroner. Livingston County's Danny Watson lives in Flanagan, population 1,000. Watson says not being a stranger has helped.
Since most people know me somewhat, that it makes things a little easier. Rather than a total stranger, they know who's coming to the door, and they know why.
Peoria County Coroner Jamie Harwood says he learned long ago you can't dwell on the job.
In the moment, emotionally, physically, and compassionately, but when I leave that moment, I leave the moment. I don't carry that moment with me through the rest of my day. My training in nursing has really taught me that there's another family waiting, maybe in another room, maybe in another, you know, another place that they're going to need you.
Harwood says it's important to convey compassion not only to grieving families, but sometimes to the community as a whole. Peoria County has had several notable deaths in recent months, including the state's attorney and the county clerk. The style of public death announcements differs from coroner to coroner. Some simply try to dryly report facts. Harwood tends to show artistic flair. He sometimes posts phrases on social media like, "It is with a heavy heart that we report someone's passing, and I'm deeply saddened to announce someone's passing." Harwood says it seems like the right thing to do when a community is in mourning.
I'd like to think that the public deserves the information that I give them. And sometimes I have to refrain from writing their obituary, you know what I mean? But I want people to know that they're important and that they have families.
Harwood says that's a style he developed on his own.
The funny thing is when you become coroner, they don't give you a media relations class. You don't get templates on how to send out releases or anything like that. So a lot of it has been a growth experience for me.
In fact, there is no real death notification training for coroners at all. Many have on-the-job experience from previous careers in medicine or funeral homes, but elected coroners in Illinois and most states don't have to have training or certification. Woodford County Coroner Tim Russman is a funeral director. He says the soft skills are something a coroner simply has to have.
There is a system there, that, you know, the electoral system. If you have a coroner that obviously can't perform the duties, they're not going to be around very long. So, you know, it's the technical side of things can be taught. You can go to classes, you can go to seminars, you can learn that. The empathy and the compassion part, I think, is God-given. You just are either born with it or you're not.
Russman says it can be hard to process the never-ending cycle of grief coroners face, though he takes comfort in making sure grieving families know where they can turn for help.
I see a lot of these departments do debriefings, de-stressings, things like that. You hear a lot about PTSD. I don't know, I have learned over the years to put a positive spin on it as I am really helping these people at the worst time of their life.
Most coroners, including McLean County's Kathy Yoder, says the job reinforces the truth that time is precious.
You never know when your last day is your last day, so enjoy your life, enjoy your family, love your friends, because you never know, but you can't worry about that.
Empathy also does not stop with the fact of the death. Coroners are resource centers for grief pamphlets, places of worship, and just being available to them 24/7. Coroners say help for grieving families can go on for weeks or months after a death. I'm Eric Stock.
Cook County is the only county in Illinois that doesn't have a coroner. It has a medical examiner, which the county appoints.